And we all said, amen. Amen. One of the favorite things that I used to love to do when I was a boy on Saturday mornings, you might have a guess, turn the TV on and watch. Professional wrestling. I'm talking about those regional wrestlers like Dusty Rhodes and Ricky Steamboat and the evil tag team duo of Ivan and Nikita Koloff. And we can't forget Ric Flair, the Nature Boy. You might want to give me a woo. There we go. I was reminded of this passion that I had for watching this wrestling, or I think it's the correct pronunciation around here is wrestling, when I was talking to my neighbor, Richie Scruggs. If some of y'all remember, Richie used to teach middle school, I think at Burns Middle, and he coached wrestling, but little did many people know, he was actually a professional wrestler. He still is a professional wrestler. I asked him, who was your character, who did you wrestle under? He was the American G.I. And so I was talking to him this past week at the soccer game, and he was sharing with me about some of his experiences. Richie actually went to Philippines this past summer, and he was able to put on several different wrestling matches. I think he said they had maybe 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000 kids and youth in attendance at each event. And after they would wrestle, they would be able to share the gospel. And he said at one event, over 200 people received Christ. The next one, over 300 received Christ. And so he actually said, I've got something for you. So he dropped this off at my house, and now my 10th grade self's dream has come true that I'm able to now officially be a professional wrestler. I'm wearing a belt here, Wrestlers for Christ. It never would have happened in the ring, but now I'm able to wear it here. I'm not built for a wrestler, so I don't think it will actually snap. It will fall off here, but if you want your picture made afterwards, if you too want your dream to come true, we'll have it down front after the service. You can wear that. But I was excited just to hear how he used his love and passion for wrestling in order to go out and to share the gospel. And so Richie literally wrestled for God. As disciples, we wrestle with God. So today we're going to look at what it means for us to wrestle with God. We're going to look at a story about Jacob in the Bible of one who also found himself wrestling with God. The story is found in Genesis. I'll just go through, kind of share it instead of reading each verse to you. But if you remember, Jacob had a twin brother, Esau. Esau was the firstborn, and he was the favorite of their father, Isaac. Jacob was then the favorite of their mother, Rebekah. Through some scheming, Jacob got the birthright from his brother Esau, and then he also tricked his father into giving him the blessing that was to be for the firstborn son. So then when the firstborn son Esau found out that he had not received his blessing, had been tricked out of it, he got pretty upset. He wanted to get rid of Jacob. He wanted to kill Jacob. And so for the betterment of his health, Jacob decided he better head out of town. So he headed to stay with his uncle Laban in Haran. And there he met Leah. He married Leah, and he also met Rachel. He married Rachel. And then let's say after several years, you could call it some creative cattle farming, he was able to leave that area with the best of the herds and of the flocks and return back towards Canaan. But see, Jacob realized that he was going to encounter his brother Esau. And for all he knew, Esau was still mad at him and wanted to kill him. So he was nervous. He was worried about meeting up with him. And so he sent a messenger ahead into Canaan to say that your servant Jacob is coming. Well, when the messenger returned, he said, well, Esau wants to meet you, and he's bringing 400 men. This wasn't the news that Jacob wanted to hear. He was afraid that he would be attacked, that he would be killed. So he split his family and his flocks in two. He sent ahead a peace offering of cattle and sheep and camels, and he sent ahead his family. And so there he stayed on the border of Canaan, getting ready to enter back into the promised land. He was by himself. There was no one around that he could cry out for help if something happened. And there, by himself, worried about that encounter with Esau coming up in the dark, he gets attacked. There was a man that jumped him, and they began to wrestle. And so for all Jacob knew, this could be Esau coming to take his revenge, or even a robber. But regardless, Jacob wrestled with that man the entire night. And right before sunup, the man, as later on in the story, refers to himself, and Jacob calls him, was God. So God as man, right before sunup, touches his hip, or really strikes him in the hip, and there he goes, down for the count. One, two, but he's not counted out. He refuses to let go. He holds on to this man. The man says, let me go. He says, not until you give me a blessing. So this man then says, what's your name? Jacob. He said, from now on, you'll no longer be called Jacob, but you'll be called Israel, which means because you wrestled with God and men and overcome. Jacob then asked him, what is your name? And then God as man responds back, why do you want to know my name? He then blesses Jacob and in turn leaves before the sun comes up. Jacob, he calls this place Peniel, which means I saw the face of God and that my life was spared. Then he stands up and he limps away with a hurt hip. So first off, why would God wrestle with Jacob? If you remember from the story here, God was the one who initiated the wrestling match. There's some that suggest that, you know, Jacob was kind of scheming in his ways in his days past. And so now that he's going to be the leader of the Hebrew people, God is coming in just to straighten him out. He's going to wrestle it out of him and get him straight so he'll be the leader he wants him to be. But I think it has more to do that with his upcoming encounter with Esau. This is why God wrestles with them. If you remember, Esau was the outdoorsman. He loved to go out and to hunt. He probably was a stronger of the brothers. Jacob, it says in the Bible that he liked to hang around tents. If you read between the lines, he was the favorite of his mama, so we can know that he was just a mama's boy. And so I imagine his whole life he lived in the shadow of his older twin brother. That Esau was the one who was stronger and better, that firstborn would receive all the blessings. And so there Jacob is about to encounter Esau, worried about this encounter. And so God shows up in that moment to say, let's see what this guy is made of when the going gets tough. So when the going got tough and God began to wrestle with Jacob, he held on. All night. He refused to let go. He passed that test. He proved himself by wrestling God. So who was the winner here in this wrestling match? Let's just call it a tie. Jacob, as a result, he gets a new name, Israel, a way of remembering that he wrestled with God and men and he overcome. He gets a blessing, another reminder that God is going to be with him and his people from here on out, no matter what they're going to face. And he also leaves with a hurt hip, which is a mark of success versus a failure. He leaves with an injury, but for him, that's a mark of success. So if we follow Jacob's example, what does it mean for us to wrestle with God? We may not enter into a physical wrestling match, but I think as a church and as individuals, we're going to find ourselves facing issues, facing situations and problems that we will be wrestling with God. For example, as a church family, can you imagine all the issues and struggles that Zion Baptist faced in over 203 years? When these issues came to the doors of Zion, such as the Civil War, and slavery, or even later on when the Depression came in and was hurting all the cotton farmers, or later prohibition as an issue the church faced. I can go ahead and tell you right now, I have some relatives in Wilkes County that were pretty creative in their corn production. But then, like, even in within the churches, if you were drinking, or even worse, if you were caught dancing, you would get churched. Does anybody know what it means to get churched? That's an old-timey saying. They'll kick you out for dancing. But these are issues that Zion Baptist Church has faced. Even more recently, the issue within women in ministry and their role has come up. Not only just what the church has faced in the past, there's going to be issues that Zion Baptist Church will face in the future. And these are not just easy problems to solve. They're going to take time for us as a church family to wrestle with, to understand. And as individuals, we face problems and situations in life. And there's no simple, easy response. We can't just say, oh, just pray about it and everything's going to be all right. Abraham and Sarah, when they struggled with infertility, they wrestled with God. Moses, when he dealt with the Israelites, the Hebrew people, grumbling and complaining out in the wilderness in the desert, he wrestled with God. David, when he was fleeing for his life, hiding in a cave, he wrestled with God. There has been and there will be situations in our life that require us to wrestle with God. And when we find ourselves in those moments, we are to reach out and we are to grab hold of God and not let go. This story of Jacob reminds us that sometimes we're going to encounter God in unexpected ways. In the middle of the night, in those difficult moments. And if we find ourselves facing these life challenges and we encounter God and we refuse to reach out and to grab hold, then we're going to miss out on all that God has to offer us, all that God will help sustain us. We'll find ourselves alone in those dark moments. Jacob, he put his life at risk in wrestling with God by refusing to let go. Scripture says that if someone saw God face to face, that they would not survive. So before the sun come up, God as man was trying to get out of there, and Jacob refused to let go. He put his life at risk. And sometimes when we wrestle with God, we realize that our life too is at risk because we may have to make some changes within our lives. Jesus says, whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for the sake of the gospel will save it. As disciples, we're called to wrestle with God. And our challenge today is when we find ourselves facing those difficult moments where we're going to struggle with issues and problems we face, our challenge is to reach out and to grab hold of God and not let go. And it may be all night that we have to hold on, but when day comes, we'll know that God has been with us and that God has blessed us because we've held on. We might leave that situation with a limp, but we leave it better off going with God than if we tried to face it alone. Will you pray with me? God, I thank you for your promise, your blessings, your being with us in those dark moments. And oh God, that I imagine everyone here has had to face those difficult moments, those nights where they have struggled. I pray, God, that you will continue to meet us in those moments, that you will make yourself known, that you will give us the wisdom and strength to grab hold of you and to hold on, to sustain us, to lead us through those times. God, I pray specifically for anybody here today that finds themselves facing a difficult time, facing a problem or a question in their life that they're going to have to wrestle with for a while. I pray that you'll be with them. I thank you for being with us in the past, God. I thank you most importantly for your son who died on the cross to give us new life. We ask these things in his name. Amen. We continue our worship this morning through a time of invitation, time of response. As always, the invitation stands to become part of our church family. If you have a question as to what it means to be a Christian, I'd be happy to talk with you. If you've got a prayer request and just want to come down, I invite you to share it with me. I'd be willing to pray with you over it, or even a praise to share. But whether you respond with me down front here at the altar or in your pew, may we all respond to what God has shared this morning. Let's stand now as we sing our invitation hymn, hymn of response, "I Cast All My Cares Upon You." Again, it's been good to worship with y'all. I just want to say how good it is to see Dick Cabinus here back at church. We've been praying for y'all and for Katie. Jenny, we're going to pray for you tomorrow. So we'll remember to pray that everything goes well this week. Will you join me now? I'm going to give y'all some instructions, and I'm going to do a quick blessing before our benediction. So for all of y'all who can make it for our fellowship luncheon, if you would, as you head down to the Family Life Center, which is that way, just follow your noses. Head down the hallway by the classrooms and come in.